So how many of you have finished your Christmas shopping? Me neither. There was a woman who went to the post office and the postal clerk, she was there to deliver, she was there to mail a package to her brother. It was a family Bible. And the postal clerk said, "Is there anything breakable in there?" And she said, "Only the Ten Commandments." Well, you guys are going to make this fun and easy. So this is my first time here, and this is just delightful again.
Welcome.
Thank you. So Advent is about the not only the awareness of the Christ presence within us, but our receptivity to it. So today the title of my talk is called The Buoyancy of Joy. So I want to get a couple terms out of the way. First of all, what's the difference between happiness and joy? Well, happiness is more based on the outer, and it can be sometimes short-lived. Whereas joy is much more of an internal state. It's abiding presence. And some say when you're in a state of joy, you're in a state of grace. So how many of you believe that the birth of Christ was December 25th? I didn't catch one of you. Okay, before I go on, I had a couple people stop me in the meet and greet and said, "What is this button and what does it mean?" And I once, a couple years ago, gave a talk and someone said, "I didn't hear a word you said. All I kept trying to do is figure out what this is." So for those of you who know what the line going through the L is, I want you to shout it out.
Noel.
Yes, good. And Noel, oh, the groaner. Noel in French means the birth or the nativity, or we sometimes say it's peace. So, dun dun, where's the drummer? Dun dun. So biblical scholars said that they actually determined, or they tried to decide on the birth of Christ right between the second and the fourth, and sometimes people say as late as the seventh century. And some decided it would be middle of May, and some said maybe January the 6th, which is what the Armenian church does even today. But some religious leaders decided that why don't we make it right around winter solstice, the darkest day of the year, the shortest day of the year. Because during that time, they would celebrate the sun god overcoming the darkness. So with the birth of Christ, it would be that the light was overcoming the darkness of the world, and that what is born in the Christ and also in us is that light. So they figured if the pagans would come to this holiday, then we might be able to convert a few of them. Now, what we know today as Christmas was really not developed until the 19th century by German tradition of the Christmas tree and its festivities, and also the English writer Charles Dickens. He had a very strong influence. So how many of you know of The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens? Okay, this was about a very miserly businessman who was known for his famous saying, okay. So I want a little audience participation. So we're going to start over here. So I want you to get into the character, the face, the words, the you're very good at this too. So, "Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge." "I would like you to donate to our charity for Christmas." All right, you get the idea. So, Ebenezer Scrooge was visited by Jacob Marley, which was his business partner, who had died 7 years before on that very night. And he came wrapped up in chains and he was moaning and lamenting because he had actually earned those chains while he was alive with every limited decision he made of his own free will to choose possessions and love of power over acknowledging people and bringing out the goodness in them. And looking at Scrooge, he didn't want him to have the same fate, which is he constantly, never at peace, was being able to view what he didn't do in this life. And he said, you will be visited by three ghosts who will haunt you. But Jacob Marley had a plan, and his plan was that perhaps with these ghosts, he would see his greater self. Now, years ago, I lived back at near Unity Village. My now ex-husband was studying to become a Unity minister. And there was a speaker there at the Fillmore Chapel named Andrew Harvey. How many of you know who he is? All right. He's called a radical Christian mystic. And when he was talking about, during this time, he was talking about the greater, the plan that God has for us to know our greater self. And this is what he said. Everything in life is designed to fail you on purpose in order for you to turn within and find God. Now, in German, the word goodness or good is synonymous with God. So let me say it another way. Everything in life is designed to fail you on purpose so that you ultimately turn within and find goodness, good. So Ebenezer Scrooge was visited by three ghosts, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Now, the ghost of Christmas past took him to his past, where he went to his boyhood school, where the only one there was this one solitary child. And as each year, as the other boys would go away to be with their family, he would be there alone, sometimes reading. And one day, his sister came, his little sister, and he said, Father has agreed for you to come home. Yes, he was drunk at the time, but he's so much kinder now. For you see, the father had shunned him when his wife died in childbirth, giving birth to him. And then they fast forward where the ghost of Christmas past takes him to where he was an apprentice with his boss. And his boss had thrown a great big party on Christmas Eve. And what he noticed is that there was so much joy. And it didn't cost very much. Then it fast forward into his life when he's in the prime of his life, where he's eager, he's greedy, and he's restless. And he's with the woman that he loves. And she has noticed over time that he has let go of one nobler aspiration after another. And she sees this vacant look in his eyes, this empty look. Actually, it wasn't an empty look. It was a yearning for accumulation of wealth. And he said to her, I have to postpone our wedding yet again. I'm not making enough money to have what you really need. And she said, you know, I don't think you'll ever have enough. And I think I have to let you go. So then fast forward, it shows her now with a husband and a child, a daughter, filled with joy. And when Scrooge sees this, his heart is just flooded with grief. And he wonders, I wonder what my life would have been like if I would have valued her more. And if I would have, what it would have been like now to be a father or to be a husband. You know, in Scripture, John 16, it says, no man can take away your joy. Why would they say that? So I'm about to say something that's going to seem really strange. There are six steps I'm going to talk about how to find joy. But the first one, pregnant pause. The first step is to notice our sins with compassion. Now, why would I say the word sin in a Unity church? Really now? Well, the Aramaic word for sin isn't the archer's term of missing the mark. It means unripe fig. That we are not ripened in our understanding. And when we know better, we do better. So although Scrooge did feel amazing remorse and regret, there was also a compassion that arose in him. A compassion for his former self. Wow. If I would have known better, I would have done better. As we talk about this ripening process, you know, and we really honor the qualities of faith and peace and love and joy. Do you notice something about those? Those are no qualities of the mind or even our ego. Our ego can't even possibly know those states. But our mind can take us through the threshold to where we go to a place where our heart understands. So these are really qualities of the heart. And you know, everything that happens to us is for our ripening. 10% of what happens to us is life. You know, God doesn't promise us an easy ride, but God promises us, I can show you a way to handle it maybe a little bit differently. So 90% is what? Our attitude, isn't it? That's what we have control of. But how many times do we try to control that 10%, right? How many of you know who Matt Kahn is? He wrote a book. Oh, you guys should know about him. Bookstore moment, whoever orders. He wrote a book called Whatever Arises, Love That. So whether we know how to love or not, whether we know how to forgive or not, whether good things happen to us, whether we believe strongly about something, whether our thoughts are good or bad, or our beliefs are good or bad, even if we don't know how, love does. And there's an innocence about that. And I think that's what Scrooge saw. He saw his innocence. And a lot of times we beat ourselves up about our past, where God is having God's hand in it for a greater plan for our life. And when we look back, we're being ripened. When we know better, we do better. When we really take these four qualities and take them to a deep place inside us, we ripen in a deeper understanding. You know, that peace, that understanding. It's that place where in that stillness, we come to know that there's something else going on, something more that meets the eye. So then Ebenezer Scrooge was taken to the Ghost of Christmas Present. And he was taken to his clerk's home, Bob Cratchit, and his family, and his little son, Tiny Tim, who was weak and who was a cripple. And he sees Tiny Tim at the table saying, looking around at all whom I see, I know I belong. And that just choked Scrooge up because he had never felt that except from his little sister. So he turned to the Ghost of Christmas Present and he said, will Tiny Tim live? And he said, without intervention, no. And then he took him to his nephew's place, and everyone, he had given a toast to Ebenezer Scrooge, and everyone laughed. And he said, oh, but no, I feel for him. I feel sorry for him. He doesn't know what he could have here. He doesn't know all the joy and bounty and blessings that are around him. And so it warmed Ebenezer's heart to hear this. And what he realized was, so what did Jesus come to teach? You know, in the Old Testament, we have that tribal God of, punishment. And Jesus came as a spiritual revolutionary. And he came to teach us that that eternal kingdom is within. And that we're here to love one another. I love what the Dalai Lama says is, my religion is kindness. And what Jesus also did was he healed with his presence, because his presence was undivided. Can we say the same? You know, they say if you want to find out how enlightened you are, go spend a week at the holidays with your family. What do we want our presence to show or to emit? Because what does it say? We are these beacons radiating out. What you say speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Do we have a united consciousness? You know, before we, whether we agree with someone or not this holiday season, you know, that one opinionated relative, the invitation is to first connect heart to heart before you say a word. Notice what happens. They may never change, but I would say, what's your joy worth to you? You want to give it away that easily? Whether someone snubs you or don't agree with you? You know, the word buoyancy is a force that a liquid exerts on itself by a substance that's not as dense as itself. And so, you know about pushing a beach ball down under the water, you can't do it. Or those clowns that are filled with air that have the sand, and you try to bop it over and it comes back. Like, I looked it up and it's called Bozo Bop Bag from the 60s. That's joy. No matter what tries to push it down, we let it rise up, because what is stronger within is stronger than what's in the world. That connection that we have with spirit, that joy, don't give it away so readily. Then what Scrooge realized is that the ghost of Christmas yet to come was one that he feared the most. It was a hooded ghost that didn't speak and just pointed with a bony finger. And he saw a corpse, was not identified, but everybody seemed relieved of its death. And he went to Bob Cratchit's home and saw that Tiny Tim wasn't there. It was only a crutch in the corner. And when he asked to make sense of it all, the ghost of Christmas yet to come showed him his own gravestone. And he begged for a second chance. In every moment we're being ripened for a second chance. So what did Scrooge do? He shared his heart. He shared his joy. He loved loving. And it didn't matter if nobody returned it at first. They didn't believe in it, believe in him. They didn't care. He went to the Cratchit family, and what he did was he helped them out, and he became like a second father to Tiny Tim, and Tiny Tim thrived. And then he went to his nephew, and he became very close, knit part of that family, wanting to belong. Looking in the eyes of those I see, I finally know I belong. So, what if it's hard for some of us to feel joy at Christmas? Some of us may have lost a loved one. This may be the first or second Christmas without someone, like as it is for me. Or people may not know, how am I going to afford any presents? Or am I going to spend Christmas alone? Or you might be facing a health challenge or a job challenge. So there are six powerful ways of finding our joy. The first is gratitude. Actually, the first was really connecting with our innocence. And also knowing that as we mature along this life path, we need to appreciate what we've been through and not hold in stone what we've done or what another's done. And if that means giving is forgiving, then it might be one of the greatest gifts that we can give. The second one is gratitude. Gratitude can melt any anger or depression. Have it be a transformative, addictive power. There's so much to be grateful for. There's things we don't even think about that we're grateful for, that we should be grateful for. Grateful that we're breathing right now. That we're not looking at our own headstone. That we have that resilience, that we have this community. Third one is to acknowledge. To acknowledge is probably the greatest thing we could do for each other. How many times does someone just need a kind word or a word of encouragement? You know, in the end, really, it's all about acknowledgement. And I invite you to challenge you this week to acknowledge those who are doing thankless jobs. Acknowledge those who need that from you. Each of you are healing angels. Each of you have the ability to gift someone with a warm heart. And it could be just a touch. It could be a helping hand. It could be a gesture. It could be a kind word. It could be a silent blessing. The fourth one, I don't remember. The fifth one, I'll go back to the fourth one. The fifth one is giving. The fourth one, of course, the fourth one is meditation and prayer. Prayer. You know, the Sanskrit word for prayer means palau, to see oneself as wonderfully made. Not pray that I'm a wretched sinner. Oh my gosh, can I see that I'm wonderfully made? Can I see that God has been wanting to see me to see the goodness that we are all along? That eternal kingdom is within, and my job is to share that joy, and how I come to know that is going into that silence, to know the author of my being. Prayer and meditation, we will find our resilience, that buoyancy of joy. The fifth one is giving. Give of yourself. Share yourself. You don't have to, you get to. You'll get to see how much joy you can bring to yourself and another. And the sixth one is play. God loves a cheerful giver and a cheerful player. The more that you play and fill up that tank, the more that you bring joy to another. Do you notice that the next person, it's easier for them to give joy to another too? It's that ripple effect. So in closing, I have probably half of my talk there. But in closing, I'd like us to all channel Tiny Tim. I'd like you to turn to the person to the left and to the right and to say, God bless us. God bless us, everyone. God bless us. God bless us, everyone. And let us now say it together. God bless us. God. And let's keep the Christ in Christmas. God bless you.